All right, I want to tell you about Brain FM. Some days, our focus is stretched thin. Different sources of stimulation regularly wear on our attention. Working from home can obviously exacerbate these issues. At best, curated playlists can be a crapshoot. Whether they'll actually push you to be more productive, who knows? This is why we use Brain FM. These guys have neural phase locking audio technology and fire soundtracks that shift your neurons into focus mode. Visit brainfm.com. That's www.brainfm.com. Use the promo code DIRECTIMPACT for great discounts. That's Direct Impact with no spaces. Now, visit the link in our show notes. Welcome to Direct Impact, where we discuss the various ways our mental health and quality of life intersect. I'm your host, Andrea Epstein, licensed professional counselor, master's addictions counselor, and certified sex therapist. Think of our time together as focused self-reflection mixed with insight, passion, and empowerment. Now, take a deep breath. Now let's dive in and see what impacts you today. Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Andrea Epting, and you are listening to the Direct Impact Podcast. We have an amazing guest speaker today. On the Direct Impact Podcast, we explore all the many, 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 many ways that we might enhance our mental health and leave a positive and life-giving impact in our wake. Today, we have an amazing speaker, Nicole Christina. Nicole is a psychotherapist of more than 30 years, specializing in eating disorders in midlife women. She's also the host of Zestful Aging, a multi-award-winning podcast that considers the many issues that accompany aging. She strives to bring optimism to aging and interviews guests from all over the world who are thriving in later life. Amen to that. Thank you so much, Nicole, for being with us today.
It's my pleasure, Andrea. I'm really excited for our conversation.
And, you know, a little bit of, you know, just personal self-disclosure, as somebody who was thrusted against her will into menopause at age 29, I am just loving this conversation today because I'm not sure that it just depends on chronological aging. When we're talking about the aging process, we're talking about hormonal shifts and changes today. We are talking about, you know, just being women and men in our bodies. We age over time, and it, you know, it comes with a lot. And specifically, how does that show up in mood, food, relationship to food, and disordered eating? So, you know, take us from there. You know, like, why are we seeing disordered eating either exacerbated or manifest in later life?
That's a great question. And if we step back for a moment and think about what is going on in midlife, and many of us, even if we're not clinicians, kind of have a sense that eating disorders like to show up around high school, typically. Another time is the transition between high school and college. And we think, well, what's going on? And we think about there are a lot of adjustments. There's identity shifts. There's anxiety. There are losses. There's renegotiations of who you are.
There's puberty.
It's a whole new phase of life. And it's pretty jarring, I think, is a word that most people would resonate with. And now let's go to midlife, and we think about what's going on there. And our identities are all upside down now. And I joke sometimes, like, you get a pink slip as a parent. It's like, yeah, I don't need you anymore. You know, we're done, which isn't actually true, but it can feel like that. And so now the things that many of us as women were invested our whole identities, our whole lives, our whole souls into, perhaps our work, parenting, being a good daughter, being a good partner, being a good friend. All of these things are now like kind of up for grabs, and it leaves a big vacuum for most of us. And then if we put on top of that, some of us, I mean, I haven't been in this category, but I have seen clients like this who have had a lot of attention for their physical attributes. Mm-hmm. I have a friend, an old friend, who really looked like one of the classic models, Isabella Rossellini, and she got a lot of attention. And then it was quite evident that she was feeling very invisible after a while, that men weren't looking at her. And she, that was a loss. It was a hard adjustment. And it was just this shifting of, well, if I'm not that, then what am I? I don't know. What are the roles? Who, you know, what now? I know that I have, depending on how old you are, 30, 40, maybe even 50 years ahead, there's no blueprint. So it can be a time of incredible anxiety. Nobody wakes up and says, hey, I think I'm going to have an eating disorder. And I get very bristly when I'm out in public at a social event, people say, oh, what do you do? And I might mention this disordered eating and they say, oh, I wish I had an eating disorder. And it's all I can do not to say something not polite, because it is such a prison and such a heartbreak. And as a clinician, I'm watching these talented, lovely, wise, vibrant women boil their value down to whether or not they ate clean or if they had a donut and all of the angst about that. So that's, I guess, long story long, it's just a time of intense change. There's certainly losses. I mean, I'm not terribly fond of saying age is just a number. I think that kind of sugarcoats it. There are losses. I never knew what crepey skin was until one day recently I looked and I'm like, what's going on here? I was like, this doesn't look like me. Somebody else.
An out of body experience almost.
That's exactly it. It's like, oh, this is what they've been selling all the creams about. So as a clinician, and I think you would resonate with this, I feel like my job is to really help people negotiate a fine line between recognizing the opportunities, which are many and are new and joyful, and mourning the very real losses. So that's why I don't say age is just a number, because it's so much more complicated. And I think that kind of negates some of people's difficulties adjusting. And then you mentioned menopause. And then all of a sudden it's like, what has, you know, I think I've been possessed, because right. I don't know what's going on with my mood. I'm, you know, checking out in the grocery store and I'm standing in my own sweat. You know, what do I do now? Do I stay in the line? Do I just put my grocery cart aside? Like, what are you supposed to do? And it can feel also to people like a panic attack. So it brings on a lot of what is going on. Sleeping can be really a challenge. There's just a lot of stuff. And then there's, of course, you know, what's sometimes referred to as the menopause middle. And women are like, I've never had this before. Where does this come from? I'm going to just diet my little heart out. And then it's just a very short path from, I don't know what my life is supposed to look like. I have a menopause middle. My body feels out of control. Kale smoothies and hours at the gym must be my best how to address this. And as we all know, if you start losing weight temporarily, people reinforce that. So who doesn't want to hear, you look great. What have you been doing? Oh my gosh, you look, oh, you know, and so we're like, all of a sudden, wait, wow, this is awesome. Maybe I'll do 4 hours at the gym and no fat. And you can see how we quickly get into the fast lane of the eating concern, we'll say, or body concern, starting to have control and being, you know, the boss of us. Right. And then we're finding our way into someone's office, like myself, who's saying, listen, I'm finding that all I think about are fat grams, or mm-hmm. I can't do a social event because there's cake there, or I can't go to the beach with my friends because I refuse to get a bathing suit. I mean, so then we know what comes along with that.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, Nicole, thank you so much for helping our audience much better grasp and understand the similarities in onset. You know, it's like whether it's during puberty or, you know, middle school, in the similarities between that onset and the onset in middle age, like what is going on with regards mm-hmm. to grief, loss, transition, trying to navigate new norms. And all of that. And so there are some real striking similarities between those different transitions and why you might see either the birth or rebirth or exacerbation of these unhealthy, you know, relationships to food.
That's right. And that's a great point you make. Sometimes what we're looking at is a eating problem that's been dormant. That things, you know, you have your kids, you do your job, you do your thing, and it's just been kind of sleeping under the surface. It just pops up. If things are really stressful, all of a sudden you find yourself cutting out fat or going on a diet. So we have the reoccurring, and then we have the brand new. So there are that's a good distinction, I think, for people to understand. Some of these are revisiting and some of them are, you know, brand new. And what I really like to help people understand is that this is a hell of a way to live. Mm-hmm. And
consuming. It's all consuming. It's
exactly. And the system is
completely governed by eventually the behavior to soothe. And that's unfortunately, right. Soothe is causing so much damage.
It's exactly it. And we don't choose these things because we think, you know, we look out and say, oh, this is going to work well for me in a year. We, you know, there's a desperation of, I feel like I'm in such a vacuum and mm-hmm. I feel so upside down and I feel so really anxious. I got to do something to put this fire out. And if you sit with somebody who is in this process, you can only feel compassion because it is a prison and it is, you know, they can't get out. They don't feel like, okay, you know what? I'm done. I'm going to just, you know, we're going to have a barbecue tonight. I'm going to eat the hamburger, whatever it is. I'll have the mocktail with juice that has sugar in it, whatever. It's fine. That's not what happens. And what happens is it gets so entrenched and there's a way in which it's so self-reinforcing and in some really kind of backwards way, it feels so good so that you've got the situation where it's comforting on one hand and punishing on the other. And that dynamic can be really tricky to...
Because you're trying to connect from a behavior that calms your nervous system. So yeah, it is very tricky and also very treatable. And I love that's, you know, what you're out there doing is teaching and educating and healing and treating, you know, something that really goes unnoticed, I think, so often.
All right, guys, life can get hectic really fast. It feels like there's no time and we're always on the go. When you get overwhelmed with life's daily tasks, responsibilities, and unexpected challenges, important things like our health tend to fall to the wayside. Well, my friend, Healthy Cell is here to make taking care of yourself a priority. Healthy Cell makes getting back in the driver's seat much easier. They have an innovative approach to the pill format by using this awesome gel. This vitamin-packed, nutrient-dense gel can be taken by itself, mixed in your drink, or blended with your morning smoothie. Healthy Cell offers supplement packs to enhance your performance, focus, and well-being. Take control of your mental, physical, and physiological health with Healthy Cell. If this is something that you've been thinking about implementing, tap this episode, scroll to our show notes, and click the link for significant savings today. All right, click that link to support your health and our mission today. Now, enjoy the rest of the show.
I love that you talk about that hormonal shift that can cause the middle-aged middle. And you can see, and you so well laid out how that can develop into something.
Sure. It's a, I say to some people, this is one of my favorite expressions, like, it's overdetermined. There's like 30 good reasons why we ended up here. And I think when they see the logic of it, because they're like, why am I going along and then stopping at McDonald's, eating a whole bunch of stuff and then hiding the wrappers so when I get home, my partner doesn't know. And that seems crazy until we look at it just a little bit and it makes all the sense in the world. And I think you probably agree with me. That's the beauty of therapy, right? Yeah, is to take a look at what seems crazy. And it doesn't take too long to say, look at how it's such an elegant solution. And I think people really, that can be a real turning point when clients say, oh yeah, I'm not crazy. This makes total sense. Also, I'm a social worker, so given the context of where we live, what's happening in our world, the Instagram world, the Kardashian world, who wouldn't have an eating disorder? So, I try to also be playful when it's appropriate and really help them understand that they didn't make this up. This is something that the air they've been breathing since they've been born, if they're girls. And
I'm glad that you mentioned also like the social programming and the wiring and what's going on behind the scenes, just on the social level, much less interpersonal, not even mentioning childhood trauma and all the negative core beliefs that were dormant before this came to the surface.
Yeah, our world doesn't say, hey, you're over 50. You're awesome. They say, things are droopy. Your skin is kind of, whatever. You're getting gray hair or any of this. It's like, yeah, we're good. You did your purpose. You had your kids. And you're invisible. So our society doesn't already we're at a deficit, right? As women, we're struggling to be heard and seen. And now let's add on menopause, which people kind of get weirded out about. Europe and the UK, much more advanced in conversations about menopause and its effects. And there's some great podcasts that I can reference for you if you want to learn more about that. But now, we were already struggling, and now, we're never going to look like 25-year-olds again. No amount of plastic surgery can ultimately outrun biology. And so we find ourselves in quite a dilemma.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And no external shifts that you'll try to engage with will fix what is really going on or heal that grief and that loss. And so, yeah, I think that's why people can become addicted to that as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so thank you for that. Now, talk to our audience a little bit about how to avoid becoming like obsessed with the two words that I can't stand, because I work in the realm of nude and food as well, which is.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I had never heard nude and food. I was like, that's brilliant. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And so like, how do we really, as women, get away from that diet culture, get away from that, exercise. And it's because it's all about punishment. Yeah. It's all about not enough. And so, help me and the audience understand a little bit more about that.
Yeah, that's a really good question, like the $10 million question. So this is what I have been doing to some success, and what I talk to my clients about. I'm going to do a presentation here in my town, and I'm thinking about how can I bring this in. Excuse me. I would ask people at this age, and this is not an easy question. It can provoke anxiety, but like, what's my legacy here? What are my talents? What are my gifts? What are my desires? What do I still want to do with this prime time? And there's even like podcasts and stuff called prime time. And what would it look like? And what if I valued my body for what it does for me, which is absolutely genius. We still don't understand a lot of brain functions, as you know. And so here's an example. In about a month, I'm going to be walking a trail you may be familiar with called the Camino. It's in Spain, and it's a long walk. It's a pilgrimage from medieval times. And there's a movie about it with Martin Sheen called The Way, and many people take it on as sort of a spiritual walk. It's, if you do the whole thing, it's 5 weeks. Now, I can't be away from my clients for 5 weeks. And so we're doing a 10-day part of it, but it's a challenge. I've been training for it, but there's a couple days that are 15 miles long, and that's going to be a challenge. It really, yeah, truly will be. And so the question I'm asking is not like, what am I going to look like? Or am I going to look cute? Or am I going to wear makeup or whatever? My question is like, what anti-inflammatories might be the best one? What is the experience I'm seeking? I'm going with two other women who were all around 60. What transformation? What richness. I've never been to Spain. And this is such a historical walk that the Romans used to walk it. It's a beautiful walk. And so the question is not like, is my butt look big in the shorts? It's, can I appreciate what I get to do and what my body will do at 62 years old. So what I ask people to do is like, where is the joy? What really makes you just lit up? For me, it's walking my dogs in nature. I have a bunch of rescue dogs, and I will tell you, I am not a fan of the Apple Watch and these things. Like, you know, I have a friend I walk with sometimes. She's telling me how many miles. I don't care. What I care about is that I'm in the trees. It smells great. My dogs are chasing squirrels. They could not be happier. I'm taking a mental health break from work. I'm seeing the sky. Stuff is blooming. And I am in a state of absolute bliss. I'm not saying, you know, are my thighs kind of jiggly or can she see my cellulite? I'm just like, I can't believe I get to be here. And so that's how I frame it.
Okay. I love that. And what I am hearing you say is this aging process is an amazing opportunity to go inward instead of being so outward. Like, what am I reflecting? What am I projecting? It's like, no, go into that space that says, what is my body doing well for me? How do I want to respect it? How do I want to be grateful for it?
The miracle that it is. I mean, I can't believe how my feet can take me, you know, miles and miles. They're tired and they complain, but my goodness, they're still doing it.
But that act of gratitude right there, it takes you inward and away from, like, you know, how my body is looking to other people. It's what it does for me. And you were talking about, like, the way that you walk, the way you experience that activity is you are allowing it to meet needs for you because you're important, not the way people perceive you. Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
but I would say, so, and I think you would agree with me, Andrea, because we both live in this world and we both have an understanding about motivation. It is a radical act not to hate your body. Mm-hmm. And I think I might start, you know, I'm going to do this big presentation. I think I'm going to just say, you know, who here thinks their body is amazing? And, you know, nobody. Because if you're hanging out at a cafe, all you hear is, oh, I shouldn't. Oh, I was good. Oh, you know, this has so much fat. It's bad for me. This is what we're doing with our beautiful, wise brains. This is how we're wasting our precious time, is counting how many calories with our Apple Watch. I mean, to me, that is an absolute tragic situation.
I agree. And so I think it is important that our audience understand, like, let's move away from this culture of focusing on the impermanent and the unimportant and move into something deeper. So it's like that invitation to move into something that meaningful.
And the other piece of it, which gets people mad, which I'm trying to do, is who benefits? Who benefits from you hating your body? Let's think about that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. What would your call to action be?
My call to action would be, I would ask people to think about their last days on earth and think about how they want to spend their precious life, and that there are reasons that they may be worried about body and stuff, but to see if they can, as you so nicely put it, focus on some of the inward needs and what would make them feel really great. It's not what might make me feel great or you feel great, but what really does it for you? And to consider that life is really short, and how do you want to use your precious energy? I think that's what I'd like them to think about.
I love that. I love that invitation. And I really do believe that this can be such an empowering and liberating time of life.
Absolutely. It's like, I don't care. I don't care anymore. You know, if I have grimy sweatpants on, you know, I'll still go in the grocery store. I'm not trying to be admired for my style. You know, I'm just trying to live a life that feels somehow meaningful. You use that word, and also somehow significant, that I'm also being kind and being compassionate. And that feels like what I should be doing.
Oh, I love it. I love it. And so you've talked a little bit about the things that you're working on. And I know that our listeners will be linked to all the amazing things that you are doing in the show notes and where they can find you. But I just want to say out loud for people to hear that zestfulaging.com is the website. Is that correct?
It is. Yeah. I also wrote a book based on my clinical experience. For anybody who is interested in podcasting, I wrote a book on how to interview called Not Just Chatting, How to Become a Master Podcast Interviewer. That's gotten some really nice feedback. And I also do coaching around, if you're starting a podcast or you want to be a guest, there are certain things that you want to know about, right? You don't just show up. That can give, I hate this term, but I'm going to use it anyway, value to the host and to the audience that make a difference. So,
you know, we're trying to offer value.
Here we are. And you can contact me through the website. I love getting feedback about my podcast. It's now, I'm on like 360 episodes, and I'm going to be interviewing in Spain on the trail. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. But I'd love to hear from people, and please shoot me an email and let me know what I can offer.
Zestfulaging.com.
Yep.
And the Zestful Aging podcast, and they can send you an email and pick up the book. And what's the title of the book again?
Not Just Chatting, How to Become a Master Podcast Interviewer. And it takes a really different approach. There are other books out there on podcasting, but because I've been a clinician for so long, kind of, it's a lot about establishing safety and trust to begin with. And I know you know about that. So it's not an inquisition, right? It's really more of almost like a mini relationship, and what does that look like? And so it comes from a pretty different perspective. It's a little book, but people have been very, they say it's been helpful. So I hope it can be helpful to people in your audience who are looking at starting a podcast.
Oh yeah. I love that. And so I just wanted to say that today, guys, we have been talking with Nicole Christina, and thank you so much, Nicole, because today you have absolutely made a direct impact, and we really appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Andrea. It's been an absolute pleasure.
All right. Have a blessed day.
Does anyone else feel like they just earned an extra brain wrinkle? Do you feel like that went by way too fast and just cannot wait till the next episode? Then leave a review and share this episode with a friend, a loved one, a coworker, or whomever, because your valued feedback makes a direct impact.
Thank you for dropping in. Snaps to you, because you have made a direct impact by listening to this podcast. Make sure to follow us on social media and stay tuned every week for a new episode of Direct Impact with Andrea Epting. Here is our disclaimer and legal language. Yes, I'm a psychotherapist, but guess what? I'm not your psychotherapist, and I need to be clear that this podcast is solely for enhancement, education, and entertainment purposes only. It is in absolutely no way a replacement for professional counseling services. If you feel like you need additional support, we strongly encourage you to seek that out today. Listen up, Direct Impact Nation. You know how important routine, structure, consistency, and accountability is on the road to recovery and personal discovery. Well, I have developed the perfect companion for you on your journey. My Plan to Recover journal is thoughtfully and specifically designed for the person looking to achieve long-term success in recovery while gaining personal insight, awareness, emotional intelligence, and spiritual integrity. The Plan to Recover journal will help you stay recovery-minded, practice your priorities, and build a healthy relationship with self and others 12 hours at a time. To preview and pre-order your copy today, visit www.lightninginabottle.biz/journal. That's www.lightninginabottle.biz/journal. And don't forget to get a PTR journal for a friend on their journey too. Direct Impact Nation will save 15% when you use the promo code IMPACT. That's promo code IMPACT. With the purchase of your PTR journal, you will become part of an exclusive community dedicated to recovery and self-discovery. Visit www.lightninginabottle.biz and let us take you from want to willing, and from willing to healing.
Heads Up Guidance Services, or HUGS, is a nonprofit organization dedicated to removing all barriers to quality professional counseling services. At HUGS, all motivated individuals, couples, and families can access the support they need and deserve in an outpatient setting. They recruit dedicated, compassionate, and socially conscious professionals who volunteer their time and specialized skill pro bono. HUGS doesn't work with third-party payers, insurance companies, or government dollars. Rather, they operate entirely with the support of people just like you. To help support HUGS, visit www.headsupsavannah.org.